Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Blount Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk.
Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
But no Derek White tonight on the back-to-back, so Lyles might get some time. Curry dribbles in, throws it up, back to the basket. It goes in. He got fouled. I don't believe what I just saw. How did he do that?
Incredible stuff for Stephen Curry, but that's become the norm, especially on this road trip, but without a doubt this season. Warriors with a nice bounce-back win over the Spurs, 114-91. Big third quarter for Golden State after the game was tied at the half. 36-20 dubs in the third, and they go on to win this one by 23, 114-91. We welcome you in here. Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Ryan Covey, One way to eliminate all the chatter about how many minutes Stephen Curry should be playing in the fourth quarter is go build a 20-plus point lead and just carry that through and earn yourself a victory the way the Warriors did tonight.
Yeah, every time questions get asked to this team, they've had the answer so far this year. They avoid the three-game losing skid. They avoid dipping below 500. They avoid going 1-3 on the Texas trip. Like, this was a gotta-have-it kind of game. And it does kind of make you think, boy, just a little bit more aggressiveness down the stretch in San Antonio last night or maybe even in Dallas over the weekend, and you could add yourself a winning road trip. But alas, 2-2 is fine. You'll take it. You'll get back home. You'll regroup. Hopefully you'll get healthier. And this was a complete team win. JD, one of the best defensive performances I've seen and that we've seen from the Golden State Warriors in a long time.
Yeah, the Warriors held San Antonio to 37.2% shooting just one night after holding them in the 40 to 41% shooting range. The story of the game last night was turnovers, and tonight the script was flipped. It was San Antonio who had turnover issues at times. The Warriors scoring 19 points off of the 14 turnovers. The total number actually didn't end up being terrible, but on the Warriors' side of things, they turned it over just 10 times after the 20 turnovers in the ball game last night. And the Warriors were the team tonight with more field goal attempts, and they were able to correct that. A lot of things the Warriors did better tonight, but it was first and foremost the turnovers that helped flip this game back in their favor compared to where it wound up a night ago.
Yeah, no question. And when you routinely get beaten on the glass, particularly on the offensive glass, Warriors, the worst offensive rebounding team in the NBA, tonight they had the advantage, 10-8, and it seems like a small thing, but just to create a few extra possessions is massive. And when you're shooting the rock the way that the Warriors were as a team tonight, 17 of 40 from three-point range, you're going to win a lot of games when you shoot 42% from three-point range, what they were able to do tonight. And this was just, I feel like this was kind of an old-school Warriors win in the sense where they set the tone defensively. They're getting stops. They're getting out in transition. And in the third quarter, that was just kind of an old school Warriors avalanche, right? And it's Steph hitting a bunch of shots. There was, Bazemore had a really big third quarter. So it was just, you could tell their energy was up. Their intent was up. And they weren't going to go home 1-3. They were not going to let that happen. There was a little ho-hum first half. And they took this thing over in the third quarter. And even, I thought, played a really good fourth quarter as well. Shout out to Eric Paschal, who got his offensive game going late in that game as well. So a great team win tonight, and that'll be a good flight home for the Dubs.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up with JD and Covey here on 95.7 The Game, as the Warriors now 13 and 12 on the season as the games come flying along now, 25 games into this season. Also, you mentioned Eric Paschal. A big positive for the Warriors in the ballgame tonight was the fact that they were able to sustain where the game was at and actually build on leads. In the first half, the bench unit, a plus two, this group of Wanamaker, Lee, Oubre, Wiggins, Paschal. It was the same lineup at the start of the second and the fourth tonight. It was the maligned lineup that let things get out of hand in the ballgame last night, that same group. Tonight, a plus two in the first half, a plus three in the fourth quarter after they had been staked to a lead going into the fourth quarter. And they pushed it back up to a point where you thought, all the conversation about Curry, it looked for a minute there like Curry and Draymond maybe weren't even going to come back in the game at all because that group was able to extend the lead that had already been built. A much different night from a unit that got thoroughly outplayed just 24 hours earlier.
Yeah, and typically in the NBA, the team that plays with more desperation tends to win. And look, the Spurs had been on a nice run. They were 14-10, feeling pretty good about where their season was at. You know, they're getting some guys back. I know they're out. LaMarcus Aldridge and Derek White is still kind of, still trying to get back into health. But the Warriors flat out, it didn't matter who they were playing tonight. Like, they just needed to get a win. And when you set the tone like that defensively, it goes a long way. And there was little hustle plays too that I saw tonight. Guys moving off the ball. When the Warriors have active feet, that's when they're at their most dangerous, JD. And look, I know I've personally been hard on Draymond Green. The performances have been a little sporadic, but tonight Draymond Green was locked in. And we can't just, the assist totals are eye-popping. Draymond Green is a brilliant facilitator of the basketball. That was on display again tonight. Another double-digit assist night for him. So got to give some props to Draymond. I just felt like they really set the tone defensively. And I know we'll look and see the third quarter. They scored 36, pushed the lead up to 16. They held San Antonio to 20 points that quarter. And every quarter, they got better as the game went on. And I thought, it was just they were playing with desperation tonight. And the Spurs didn't match it, especially in the second half. So you get a runaway win by the Warriors.
Yeah, and a third quarter where the game really, to me, felt at halftime similar to last night's game. Like, it was kind of a ho-hum, but hey, the Warriors are going to have to figure it out down the stretch, and they might find themselves in a similar position where it's like, well, when's Curry going to come back in, and are they going to be down eight, or are they going to be up two? But the Warriors were able to put all of that to bed with the way that they played in that third quarter, outscoring San Antonio 36-20. You mentioned Draymond Green, and another double-digit assist night for him. 11 total assists for Draymond Green. That's a career-best streak, him doing it in his fourth consecutive game. The last time any Warrior, this one was hard to believe for me when the great Raymond Ritter handed this note out, the last time a Warrior had a four-game streak of double-digit assists, got to go all the way back to 2012. And Stephen Curry, not surprising that he would be the one to do it necessarily, but going all the way back to 2012 was a little bit of a surprise, and the sixth double-digit assist game of the season. He was on point tonight in his just under 32 minutes of play. But let's not bury the lead here, right? I mean, great win for the Warriors, and we'll get into a lot of the different things and how what happens tonight impacts and maybe changes a little bit of the conversation that we were having going into the night about what happened last night. But Stephen Curry, I mean, just out of this freaking world right now, the level that Stephen Curry's playing on. 32 more tonight, and he goes for the four-game trip for an average of 37.3. This guy, I mean, Steve Kerr says it, and you're thinking, really? Like, this guy was a unanimous MVP, a back-to-back MVP, all of the great things that Steph Curry has done. And Steve Kerr maintained, he doubled down tonight saying Steph's playing as well as he ever has. He's been just absolutely spectacular on this trip and really for a while going back over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, vintage Steph, and maybe even on a higher level, because we're seeing Steph do it without the supporting cast that he had around him for so many I mean, let's face it, more is being asked of him. With all due respect to Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre, that's not Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, right? You don't have Andre Iguodala coming off the bench now. You got Damian Lee and Brad Wanamaker instead of, Iguodala and Livingston. It's a whole different deal for this basketball team and those guys in that locker room. Let's face it, after last night, everybody's looking to Steph, and I know collectively the rest of the guys knew that they didn't hold up their end of the bargain and do enough. I mean, Steph can't literally do everything. Other guys have to contribute, but see, that's where you get a night like tonight. And look, even like the secondary contributors that we're used to seeing, guys like Wiggins and Oubre, they didn't have good shooting nights. I mean, they were a combined, 9 of 28 from the floor, 3 of 10 from 3, but both of those guys were such active defenders tonight that just can't be understated. But it's Steph Curry leading the charge, man. I mean, he's found even another gear, if that was even possible. I do think the time off served him well, the time during quarantine. He said he spent a lot of time with his family. Obviously, he's in good shape. I just think it was a great opportunity for him to recharge the batteries. And look, early in the year, he was still adjusting to life without Klay Thompson. I mean, this whole offseason, JD, we're going through COVID and we're thinking, okay, the return of the Splash Brothers, right? That's all we heard. Steph and Klay coming back. Let's run it back. Let's see what it looks like. Got Draymond, got Wiggins. And then boom, Klay goes down. And so we never got to see, what that was going to look like this year, because obviously they won't have Klay this season. So I think Steph had to go through an adjustment period. Oubre was struggling mightily, and they had to kind of figure out how this offense worked, right? And now here we are, 25 games into the season. I think we've got a pretty good idea. Steph knows on most nights he's going to need to be that dude, but that's all right. He's a superstar. He's capable of doing it, and as long as you get the ancillary contributions, Warriors can win a lot of basketball games.
Yeah, and it was the 16-point third quarter tonight that really helped blow this thing open, as that was the difference in the third quarter. 36-20, Warriors outscoring them by 16. Steph had 16. It was 16 in the first half for Steph, then 16 in that third quarter, and then they didn't need him to do much in the fourth quarter tonight, because the Warriors were able to build that lead all the way up to 24 and walk out of AT&T Center in San Antonio with a 114-91 victory over the Spurs. 888-957-9570. It is Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors now 13-12 on the year, 2-2 trip for Golden State, and the Warriors, at this point, the night is not finished, just looking at the standings overall. But the one thing that is good, as jumbled up as the Western Conference is, having a tiebreaker over anybody, when everybody West versus West is going to play three times, there's going to be some true tiebreakers, obviously, in play here in terms of head-to-head. Having a tiebreaker over San Antonio, when you look at the difference between the Warriors, who currently sit in ninth, and San Antonio in fifth, just one game separating, having that tiebreaker is a big deal. I know, with everything else going on in the world and the NBA, and the weird state of things, that's not really at the forefront of anybody's mind, I think, on a night-in, night-out basis. But it is something nice for the Warriors to have in their back pocket as we move toward this middle third of this season.
Yeah, that's their job, is to win basketball games, regardless of what's going on in the world. These guys make a lot of money to play. They make a king's ransom to play a kid's game. I think that's the way Lo Neal describes professional athletes. I think he's referring to football because he's a football guy, but it's all applicable across the board here. And so, yeah, that's their job. And absolutely, the San Antonio Spurs, it was surprising to me. The Spurs, the only team in the NBA since 2012 with a winning record against the Golden State Warriors. Blow your mind, right? I mean, we know the Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr being part of that coach tree. There's a little bit of, big brother, little brother relationship there. And this is important for the Warriors to beat the Spurs. Got them 2 out of 3 times now. Could have had all three, I mean, if we're being honest. But that's where, last night, it still stings a bit. But, I'm always a big believer, JD, and it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And coming home after a win to salvage a 2-2 road trip is a lot better than coming home, had this script been flipped and they won big last night and then tricked off the final game. So, absolutely a good win against a quality outfit in San Antonio. And like I said, I love the way that this team defended tonight. They're always going to be able to separate themselves with defensive effort, with all their length, and they were able to do it again tonight. We hadn't seen this in a couple of games by the Dubs, but they certainly found their defensive identity again tonight.
Yeah, let's pose that question. I mean, does the win tonight, does that assuage any of the concerns about last night? Does it change the way you look at this you know, trip as a whole. How do you feel about a 2-2 trip? I guess is the best way to put it. Do you feel like, all right, 2-2 price of admission, 925 on the text line chiming in, 2-2 solid, all things considered. Then goes on, you know, Brad Wanamaker to mention his struggles, but I think you would take 2-2 going in, and you take 2-2 coming out. But when you look at the four games as a whole, I feel like, man, 3-1 was right there, whether it was either the game last night or the game on Saturday night in Dallas where Stephen Curry went off. Does 2-2 feel like a good trip? It does to me, and I'll be honest, I'm the first one that kind of goes down the panic road whenever there's a game that sets things a little bit off kilter. Like last night, it's like, wait a minute, that one was there. You played pretty well. The turnovers wrecked it. You couldn't execute down the stretch. I'm the first one that kind of goes, well, if you lose tonight, all of a sudden you're in big trouble. So then you win tonight, and it calms everything down immediately. That tends to be how I view it. But I know people look at it in different ways. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Here, John Dickinson and Orion Covey. Warriors, they get the win tonight, 114-91, as Golden State splits the trip. And the Warriors are going to be back in action on Thursday night right here on 95.7 The Game, as they'll take the Orlando Magic. Will open up what will be a four-game homestand for the Warriors. It's the Magic and then the Nets, followed by the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday, and then the Miami Heat are in Chase Center a week from tomorrow night. All right, let's get up to Allen in Alameda. Allen, you're up first here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Allen.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for taking my call here. You know, I've been noticing this for about Curry's playing time here, and I know to me it's affecting the like if he would come in like around 7 minutes or so, like in the second quarter or like in fourth quarter, it's like he's not even playing. He's missing one quarter the whole game. If you would sum all the minutes, he comes in like 5 minutes, between 5 to 6 minutes in a game in second quarter and fourth quarter. I mean, I know we won tonight, but last night, maybe he came in early. Maybe everything would have been different. And why is that? Why is he getting so much rest? I mean, he's hot. Why keep him on the bench for so long? Come in at least 7 minutes. So, you know, that's my one issue about him coming in, 5 minutes and a half or 6 minutes. And also, I see Wiggins sometimes. He'll come in there, he'll pump in like 10, 15, 20 points, and sometimes he's so cold. And officiating on the call, these referees, we got so many bad calls in the last, I would say, 5 games, and it's going against us. So thank you very much for taking my call, okay?
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the phone call. Look, Steph Curry's got it. He's got to rest somewhere. And he likes playing the entire first and third quarters. He likes finishing quarters. And the Warriors want to mirror his minutes as much as they can with Draymond Green. So if you change the when Steph is going to be in and out there, then you have to change maybe when Draymond Green's in and out, because they want to. So it's not just as simple as, changing the rotation to give Steph a couple extra minutes here or there. The only way you really can do it is if you just bring him back a little bit sooner in the fourth quarter. Tonight, right, it didn't come into play at all. But really, the change you're talking about is it's a night-to-night change where you just determine, hey, instead of maybe 6 minutes, you're going to play him eight. And it's not something you have to do. But if you are going to make a switch, it's going to be the type of switch where you're just going to add a couple of minutes toward that back end of the fourth quarter. You're not really going to give him extra minutes off, because it would tend to throw everything else out of whack.
Yeah, just have a little bit of fluidity with that, right? And it's on a case-by-case basis. You probably only would even need to do it, JD, a handful of times a year. But I mentioned how Steph's having to adapt to life without, you know, all the Hall of Fame cast of characters that he played with for so many years, all those championships. And so when you don't have those guys at your disposal like Steve Kerr was used to, well, Steph Curry is your best option. And sometimes that might mean playing him a couple of extra minutes. The thing that I really liked tonight, JD, was these guys, you know, I like to say, like, these guys have the internet too. Like, they heard all the last night about the way the game ended. Minutes and Kerr's comments and kind of some of the backlash from that. I felt like tonight this was, let's go get this one for our head coach, because Steve Kerr, he basically, you know, took the bullets for Draymond last night, even though he didn't have to, and certainly I think that wasn't required of him, but he did it anyway. He's protected Steph as far as the minutes and all that. Like, these guys, they play for each other, and regardless of how we may feel about the decisions, JD, when you go big picture and you've got that kind of chemistry and that kind of camaraderie and that kind of leadership from your coach, and the guys clearly want to play for him, that's not nothing, because the margins were felt on the defensive side of the ball tonight for me first. And for me, defense is always going to be effort. And you play, like, you give that kind of effort for your coach, for your team, for, you know, for each other. And I don't mean it to kind of sound too cheesy around it, but that's kind of deep, right? And I felt like this was one of those games where they were going to go out there and win this game for their head coach. And so they made sure that they were having a good flight home. So I think that's a really good sign for this team.
888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up. Let's get to Law Abiding Citizen. He's up next here on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, man?
Hey, JD and Covey, I want to welcome you guys. I'm all the way up in Kelseyville listening to you guys.
I know Kelseyville.
On the video.com app, and you guys sound great all the way up here. Anyways, the Warriors, they go to Texas, and they do the Texas two-step. And, you know, they were on the cusp of getting that 3-1. They could have done it, but you know what? This little mini, you know, trip to Texas, it's kind of symbolic of what their season is going to be. And sadly, that's going to be a 500 season. But you know what? As a Warriors fan, I'm not mad right now, and I'm not expecting them to go on some huge run, whatever. But what I do see is I see promise in a lot of these guys. The Warriors got to figure out a lot of stuff. This guy, Brad Wanamaker, like, they got to, is this guy going to be on the team? I've been calling him Brad Nunnemaker. Shouts out Joe Dirt. But anyways, you guys are rocking. Love you guys. I love listening to you guys every time after the game. You guys rock. Anyways, you guys have a great night.
All right, appreciate the call. Wanamaker did knock down a three in the fourth quarter, and it was a much-needed one. I thought Damian Lee made the three for him because he was such a great extra pass, and Lee was knocking shots down all night, but yet he made the right basketball play to get the ball to Wanamaker, even though he had been struggling. He had the two just awful back-to-back turnovers as well. So for him to hit that shot, it was kind of a big moment, it felt like, for Wanamaker. I mean, is he going to be on the team next year? I mean, stay tuned. We'll have to have a conversation right about that in May. But he was signed to a deal just, you know, similar to the way Kelly Oubre was brought in here. Like, not everybody on this team this year, I say this all the time, is necessarily a part of the future plans. But the one thing you do need is a steady backup point guard that can give you at least 12 minutes. And even on a bad night, I think Wanamaker still can do that to the point where the Warriors don't have a better option. So, like, they don't have a better option as a backup point guard. So until you have a better option, yeah, he is going to be on the team, and he is still going to be playing a minimum of probably about 12 minutes a game because that's what he was brought here to do, and the Warriors are just going to have to figure out ways to make do and try and, you know, try and survive if he's struggling. I mean, he's got to play better. I think he knows he's got to play better. Everybody knows he's got to play better.
Yeah, and look, like, the Warriors have salary cap issues. I think we all know that. They're deep into the luxury tax, all this, you know. Joe Lacob's paying out the wazoo. There was only so much they were going to be able to spend on Brad Wanamaker. And, you know, look, Wanamaker, he's a solid defender. We know that. He's got size. He's got length. He fits a lot of the – he has a lot of the attributes that the Warriors are looking for, the ability to switch, to guard multiple positions. Like, Brad Wanamaker is a really bright dude. He understands the game. Like, he's got his limitations offensively just because he's not a great shooter. And right now, his game's off a little bit. But I think, by and large, Brad Wanamaker's done a fine job this year. I know there's been a few people on the text line and some of the callers maybe, you know, quote, coming down his road a little bit. But by and large, I mean, he had a couple of – moments tonight where he made the extra pass in his own right because he's not confident with a shot, but he made some really nice plays. I mean, he ended up with four dimes tonight in 16 minutes. Look, for Steph Curry's backup, you're not going to be playing a whole hell of a lot, but I actually like Wanamaker. I think he's going to be just fine, and I totally agree with you, JD. Brad Wanamaker is a placeholder until this team, you know, has a more complete point guard backup to Steph Curry, if you will. But regardless, you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than Brad Wanamaker, too. I think, by and large, he's actually been pretty good. He's just going through a bit of a tough stretch right now.
The difference is, do you want Brad Wanamaker or you want Kai Bowman? And the reality is you want Brad Wanamaker. Like, it's just there's a difference between having Kelly Oubre and Glenn Robinson III. No disrespect to Glenn Robinson III. Like, you need proven NBA caliber rotation players, and Wanamaker is that, even when he struggles. And look, his ability to just take those minutes and to where, like, it could be worse. Now, that being said, it may have to get better next year if the Warriors believe that they're going to be a Western Conference, you know, finals or potential NBA finals contending kind of a team a year from now. But again, that's not a conversation for right now. Right now, I think he's doing his job. He's been disappointing overall in terms of the numbers and the inability to make a shot. I think that's 100% a fair thing to throw out there. But at this point, not everybody that's brought in, I always say this, is meant to be a member of your squad forever. So let's just take it game to game and year by year as far as Wanamaker goes. Let's get to Andy. Andy's up next here on 95.7 The Game.
What's going on, JD and Cove? Thanks for taking my call. All in all, when it comes down to this road trip right here, I definitely think if Wiseman is in or if Looney's in, any type of big man, really, we at least go 3-1. Maybe 4-0, depending on if they kept up that defensive intensity, which I assume they would have. But, like, today was a great team win. You got Wiggins with 14, Kelly with 12, Steph did Steph things, 32. But I want to highlight Juan Toscano-Anderson, Juan T, or as I like to call him, Juan Tostada-Anderson, because that man's game is so crispy. Oh, my God. If you want to talk about proven NBA rotation players, Juan Toscano-Anderson has worked so hard on his game, especially since last year where the guy couldn't hit a three. I mean, he bailed himself out with a three early in the first quarter when he was kind of fumbling and dumbling. And this whole four-game stretch, he has been really underrated and a crucial part of this Warriors squad. So I ask you this question. Will we see Juan Toscano-Anderson on a guaranteed contract with the Warriors, let's say maybe later in the season or even next season? Because I know we kind of have to limit his minutes because he's on that two-way. His games is a game-by-game basis. So I want to ask you guys that. And, thanks for taking my call. And listen to you guys every night. So appreciate you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Andy. I don't think it's going to be an issue this year that the Warriors are going to have to decide. And again, I mean, not to kick the can down the line. I mean, Steve Kerr has said he believes Juan Toscano-Anderson should be somebody that eventually is on a full NBA contract. I think the Warriors would love to have him, but again, it's somewhat similar to the Brad Wanamaker conversation, even though I think the sentiment in terms of the fans with Juan Toscano-Anderson is probably more favorable because Juan Toscano-Anderson has played, I think, better in more limited minutes, but he's also a local kid, which I think everybody likes as well. So I think, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson gets some bonus points from the fan base for being somebody that grew up in Oakland. So I think it just remains to be determined. If he continues to play well, sure, I think the Warriors would be open to that. I think the other teams would probably be open to that. But I would put him in a similar category to Wanamaker where, look, you can't keep everybody and you don't always necessarily want to keep everybody if your goal is to level up from wherever this year ends.
Yeah, I like Juan Toscano-Anderson. They don't have to make that decision right now. Let this year play out. Juan Toscano-Anderson's playing fine. He's been versatile. He's shown up when needed him. You know, he had a stretch where he didn't play for a couple weeks, JD, and he said after he had that big game and we finally saw him, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. I love his attitude. He's got a level of humility to him. Paid some dues down there in Santa Cruz. So if it's not with the Dubs, I think Juan Toscano-Anderson will find himself on an NBA roster next year. You hope so. Seems like a good dude. And I absolutely like his game right now. So regardless of what the future may hold for him, he's going to have a part to play on this team, especially if the Warriors aren't going to have any bigs for anytime soon.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up. John Dickinson, Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game. Warriors get the win 114-91. We'll come back. We'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We'll also hear from Draymond Green and others. How you feeling about this trip now with the Warriors at 2-2? Good trip, or did they leave one on the table, either in San Antonio or Dallas, that they should have gotten to set themselves up in a little bit of a different position? We'll keep it rolling here on 95.7 The Game.
Damian Lee on the deflection. Gets it ahead to Curry in the front court. Behind the back, he sheds Patty Mills. Euro steps inside hand. That was sweet by Curry.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
All right, roll along here on a Tuesday night. Warriors win 114-91. Golden State, the 2-2 road trip. They split a pair in San Antonio after splitting a pair in Dallas. Now 13-12 on the season. 888-957-9570. Another spectacular night for Stephen Curry. 32 points, 11-20 shooting, knocked down 4 threes. And Steph going for just a cool 37.3 average in the 4 games on the trip. Oh, by the way, he had 38 in the game before the Warriors went on the trip against the Celtics in the 111-107 loss. Asking the question here on the phones and via text, how you feeling about a 2-2 trip? Is that an acceptable trip, or does it feel like it should have and could have been more? A lot of people chiming in, Covey, on the text line.
Yeah.
No Wiseman, no Looney. 2-2 is a great trip. Can't even see how anyone would panic before the All-Star break, but that's a great trip. I get that. I mean, 9 players the first 2 games and then 10 in the last 2. And again, I always think you have to take what you would have taken going into it. And going into it, I think you absolutely would have signed up and taken 2-2. It's just more as it played out with opportunities really to win all 4 games, you get a little greedy and want to make it a 3-1 at a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, look, the 2 wins, they beat the brakes off of the Mavericks and the Spurs, so you know they're capable of it. And then the 2 losses, they went down to the wire, and it was a couple of possessions, a couple of things. And really, I think it wasn't so much a product of the Mavericks in particular beating the Warriors. It was the Warriors kind of beating themselves. And even last night, I mean, 20 turnovers and poor execution down the stretch, and nobody other than Steph Curry scoring in the fourth quarter. Like, that was stuff that was fixable. Now, you give the Spurs credit for the way they defended down the stretch, but by and large, that was certainly a winnable game. So it's really, you can answer that question 2 ways, because you and I had the conversation before the trip. We're like, dude, you got no bigs? 2-2? Oh, hell yeah, you'll take it. I just said you can't go 1-3. Like, that's what you have to absolutely avoid. But the other question is, well, seeing how the 4 games played out, how do you feel about going 2-2? The reality is they could have been 3-1, even 4-0. So it's really depends on, you know, if you want to play Monday morning quarterback or not. But I think, based on where they're at in the standings, they're a game out of 5th place. You know, they're a game behind the Spurs, who are 5th in the West. Like, they're fine right now. I just feel like if they can start to add a little bit more consistency, JD, and do the things that we see them do when they win and win big on a more consistent basis, the Golden State Warriors could peel off, you know, I don't know, 7 out of 10, something like that, and then they could be right in the thick of it in the Western Conference. So it just, you know, right now when you're 500, you're teetering. It could go either way. Now, they haven't oscillated too much one way or another at any point, hence no 3-game winning streaks or losing streaks this year. But, hey, they're right in the hunt, so you'll take it.
We were talking a lot about Brad Wanamaker and, you know, just his up and down play, and it's been mostly down. I think if you ask Warriors fans, hey, Brad Wanamaker, has he been a disappointment overall or not? I think most Warrior fans would say, yeah, he's been a disappointment. Still a place on this team. Oubre, the 510 checks in and says, I'm finding Oubre is an odd fit. Am I alone in this feeling? Well, no, you're not alone in this feeling. But Juan Toscano-Anderson, the 925, checks in. Juan Toscano-Anderson, absolute money. The guy's a great Swiss Army knife. The point that I'm trying to make in bringing all those, and I think Oubre is a great example, like Oubre might just be a one-year guy, and Wanamaker might just be a one-year guy, and Juan Toscano-Anderson might just be somebody that really helps this Warriors team that they'd like to keep, but ultimately down the line either feel they need to get somebody better and more established, or may wind up having another better offer if he plays well enough down the line. I haven't seen enough of Juan Toscano-Anderson yet to be saying that he's a bona fide, you know, rotation player in the league. Now, he's played that way this last handful of games, but he's going to have to do it over 38, you know, 40 games here down the stretch of the season to really prove it to be true as well.
Yeah, no question. And look, I mean, it's two separate conversations. Like, are these guys going to be good enough to get, you know, be secondary pieces for this team to make the playoffs this year? I think so. And I'm talking about Wanamaker and Toscano-Anderson and Oubre. They're all going to have a part to play, and they've all had their moments, their ups and downs, certainly more downs for Wanamaker lately. But here's the thing. Like, you look to next year, and that's the other conversation, how it applies to the future of this basketball team. Outside of Steph Curry, I'll say Draymond, Andrew Wiggins, Pascal even? I'm not even sure. That's a guarantee, but certainly I'll go Wiseman, Green, Wiggins, Curry. Those four guys, you could probably set in stone that they're going to be here next year. And then Klay Thompson, you know, provided he can get healthy and come back. That's probably your starting five. That's cool. Outside of that, that bench, it is a very fluid situation, my friend, as well it should be.
Yeah, the bench could be completely different next year.
Yeah.
At this point, like you might by the end of the year, if Wanamaker has the season that he's had to this point over the final two-thirds of it, and we should point out there are still two-thirds of the season remaining minus a game, so things can flip and we may have a totally different take and on him as things evolve. But if Wanamaker plays the way that he has played to this point for the last two-thirds of the season, he probably won't be back next year because the Warriors will say we need to get an improvement at that backup point guard slot. I think they're gonna look at everybody. I think Pascal, his role with this team next year, I think, is up in the air. I think there's a lot of guys. You know, Bazemore somebody that would figure to be in the plans next year? 50-50 bet, I would say. Oubre, without question. I mean, as much as the Warriors do need him to fill the void with the loss of Klay Thompson, just that bona fide NBA player. So the thing that you got to constantly keep in mind and keep telling yourself is that this is a twofold kind of a season for the Warriors. They are trying to develop. They are trying to learn about what they have and who is a potential future fit. They're also trying to win as much as they can right now. But they also are trying to just get by, I think, and just have enough healthy, quality NBA players to be able to go out there and give it an honest effort on a night-in, night-out basis, which is something that they didn't have last year. Even if they would have had Steph Curry all year last year, they didn't have enough of those kind of players on that roster last year. This year, they're much closer to it with Oubre and Wiggins and Wanamaker and Lee, who was here last year. But Bazemore is another example of that. Like, all those guys they're in a much better spot than they were last year in terms of just having bona fide NBA players on their roster.
No question. And look, that's, you can't just overhaul this thing in a night. I mean, let's just wind back the clock for a second, JD. And I know it's painful for Warriors fans to go through this exercise, but I think it's important that we remember this. The team that limped across the finish line and went down to the Raptors in six games in the NBA Finals, there was points early last season where Steve Kerr didn't have anybody that he had available to him in those NBA Finals. Did he have available to him to dress for basketball games like in November and December of 2019, right? I mean, everything changed. So, yeah, you've gotten some of these guys back healthy. Not all of them, of course. You don't have Klay Thompson yet. But as that's happened, they've also had to kind of overhaul this thing on the fly. A lot of the guys that were here last year aren't here this year. It's in a continuous overhaul, as well it should be. But it's all part of the cycle of life. Like, I think it's easy when you say, oh, this guy's not good enough, that guy's not good enough. Well, okay, but what were the options that the Warriors have? Like, the big moves that they've made, like the guys that are going to be cornerstone pieces, the only thing a Warriors fan should really be worried about right now, if we're being honest, how does Andrew Wiggins look? How does that work out with him and Draymond and Steph? Does that work? Okay, cool. That works. Awesome. Because that's the most important. How does James Wiseman look, right? That's what matters going into the future. I mean, honestly, with all due respect to Bazemore and Wanamaker and Oubre, it really doesn't matter as it applies to anything beyond this season. So can they be a placeholder this season? Absolutely. Can the Warriors look to upgrade in the offseason? Absolutely. Will they be a better basketball team next year? I would say so. When you got Klay Thompson coming back, a couple more draft picks, like, yeah, this team will be even better next year. So it's important to kind of understand how we got here. It's not about blame or anything like that. It's just that's the score. They're clearly a better team than they were last year. And by the way, JD, if I could just for a moment, if they beat Orlando on Thursday night, they're going to be in a position to get their 15th win on Saturday night, which, oh yeah, you guessed it, would equal the 15 wins they got all year last year. So things are obviously much better so far.
Yeah, they're in a much better place at 13-12 than they were a year ago when they wound up 15-50. And a big part of that is Stephen Curry, who continues to just go off on a night-in, night-out basis. And, you know, it is interesting when you look at some of the – I have seen a couple of MVP stories within the last week. We're starting to get to that point a quarter of the way, a third of the way now through the season, where you start to see, you know, the MVP ladder and things like that, and people writing articles and putting names out there. Look, the only thing keeping – Stephen Curry off of any of those lists, and there were a couple where I was surprised. I know it's kind of the Warrior fan mantra is, well, Steph's never going to get the respect, and it's the media, and he's not going to be in the conversation. There was one, I can't even remember where I read it, but he wasn't even in the top 10, which was just absolutely disgraceful.
Your list is trash at that point.
Without getting into that specifically, like, he is going to be top five in the MVP if this Warriors team can separate from 500. That's what it's going to take. Steph isn't playing at that level, but they're going to have to be closer to a 40-win team, I think, than a 37-win team. And I know it's such a fine line. Like, he's playing at the level he's playing at. Like, I'm not saying he's not playing at that level, but for the notoriety to come, and, you know, from the people that vote on this stuff and discuss it, the Warriors are going to have to win at a little bit of a higher level than they have to this point.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, part of that,
and that's not taking anything away from Steph.
I think, well, of course not. No, you have a keen understanding on how these MVP awards have been disseminated over the years. So I think you're spot on. It just like it ain't going to Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal could average 33.5 points all year for Washington. If they win 20 games, ain't going to make a lick of difference. He ain't winning the MVP, okay? Like, the MVP will go to a player on a team that's in the top percentile of the NBA standings. It's just that simple. Where Steph, I think, could separate himself is, I think already the perception is this Warriors team's overachieving. And I'll be honest, like, I threw down a little bit of Skrill this week on Steph. He was plus 1,100. I was like, hey, look, the way he's going right now, he certainly, I feel better about it this week than I did even 2 weeks ago. And the other thing that could happen too, JD, Steph could remain this hot. I mean, we could see it. Steph could average in excess of 30 points a game. He's second in the NBA in scoring right now. If he finishes, you know, averaging 32 points a game, something like that, and the Warriors are the fourth seed, the fifth seed even, I think that's highly possible that he'll win the MVP. But it ain't going to happen if the Warriors are a seventh seed or an eighth seed. That dies on the vine. I think fifth seed on up is the only way that Steph wins the MVP, and he has to be either leading the NBA in scoring or behind Bradley Beal, and he certainly can't slip. But the good news is, I think the guy's got it in him, provided he stays healthy. He's in a great groove right now. Let's keep in mind, JD, he got off to a bit of a slow start shooting the rock. Remember when Steph was like sixth on the Warriors in three-point percentage? Yeah, I think those days are behind us. So he's found his rhythm. It's entirely plausible that Steph wins an MVP. The team's just going to have to play better around him.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up. Warriors win at 114-91 as they are now 13-12. And a four-game homestand coming up for the Warriors as they take on the Magic. And that, to me, becomes a game, before we hear from Steve Kerr, you know, to me, that's one you got to get. The Magic are 9-15. Yep. They've been dealing with injuries. They're at the bottom, toward the bottom of the Eastern Conference. I'm looking at them right now. They're 13th currently. They're down there with the Wizards and the Pistons, not quite as low as them.
They're about to lose tonight, too. Yeah, they're about to lose to Portland tonight, too.
And the Cavs, so they're going to drop even farther down. And the Cavs, who had a hot stretch but have dropped four in a row, are going to be here on the President's Day holiday on Monday. Sandwiched in between is the Brooklyn Nets, who, you know, for all the talk about Brooklyn and the Big Three, and I know they've been out without Durant, you know, Brooklyn's 14-12. I mean, you look at it, Brooklyn's 14. The Warriors are 13-12, and Brooklyn's 14-12 and doesn't play a lick of defense. So we saw what happened in the opener. Very different team for Brooklyn, obviously, now with James Harden in the mix and the like. And then Cleveland after that, and then Miami, who's starting to put it together after really struggling. They've won three in a row. I mean, this is kind of a mixed bag of a homestand here coming up for the Warriors. But I want to stick with Thursday. You know, Thursday's one that you got to get to build off of the road trip and the win tonight, and to push yourself again back in that conversation where maybe you can separate on the plus side from 500.
Yeah, break free of the orbit, right, JD? I mean, that's what we've been looking for. Haven't won three in a row all year, haven't lost three in a row all year. They've been in the tug. And I think, again, you know, I tweeted this out after the game. If you want to look glass half full, every time we start to question this team, they've had the answer. They've had a lot of resolve. But the reason that they keep having questions answered is because they keep losing games where you feel like they have every opportunity to win, hence them being a game over 500. Now, there's an opportunity here. This was a tough stretch of the schedule. Like, when we looked at this a couple of weeks ago and we said, man, you got Boston right before you head out down to Texas for four. Like, that's not easy. And they went 2-3 in the stretch. I think if they would have had any of their bigs, probably would have had the opportunity to go at least 3-2, maybe even better. Be that as it may, this is where they're at. And yeah, Orlando, I'm going to quote you, partner, that's a price of admission win. You have to beat the Orlando Magic. Now, the good news is the Warriors have been really adept at beating subpar basketball teams this year. I think they're 8-1 against sub 500 basketball teams. So that maybe 8-2 now with the Mavericks lost Saturday night. Regardless, they've handled business in those situations. So this is a must-have it game. And what that would do then at that point is set up you being two games over 500 and the Brooklyn Nets coming to town, the team that spanked you up pretty good the first game of the year, to show how much you've grown and how much you've changed since the last time they've seen you. So, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That Magic game needs to be a win, and it needs to be a convincing win, and you need to keep making the Chase Center a tough place for the opposition to come and play.
All right, let's hear a couple of cuts here from Steve Kerr, including just the level of play that Steph Curry's been on has just been tremendous. Steve Kerr weighed in on how it compares to maybe some previous stretches of Curry's career.
I think that's part of Steph's brilliance, is that he just constantly amazes you to the point where you almost take it for granted. I do think, and maybe it's circumstantial given, you know, the injuries and the fact that he's playing with a different group of guys, but this is the best I've ever seen him, just from a confidence and a strength standpoint. And that's saying something, obviously, two-time MVP. I don't think I've ever seen him look better.
Never seen him look better. We touched on it a little bit at the beginning of the show. I mean, I think you do get bonus points, man, if you're doing it with a subpar cast compared to the previous cast. And that the one thing that Steve Kerr said a couple of times that I really do agree with is how strong he looks. How strong he looks in terms of just attacking the rim and getting to the basket and just attacking the defense. 8 more free throw attempts tonight for Stephen Curry. He's able to take some punishment, and it feels like he's getting back up and bouncing back up and still able to play at the high level that we're all used to seeing him play at.
Absolutely. And he's in great shape. And I know I mentioned this last night, JD, but I think it's important. I think, or maybe it was on the pregame today, these shows are coming so fast and furious, but I think that time during the pandemic, a lot of people, it was tough, right? Because you felt isolated. Steph's got a great family unit, and I feel like he took that time to really decompress and recharge the batteries, right? And that lull at the beginning of the season was he thought he was going to have Klay Thompson, and it turns out he didn't, and that took a little getting used to. Kelly Oubre struggling. There's all these new faces, moving parts, like, and the team's trying to find their identity. And, oh, yeah, the first four games of the season, you didn't have Draymond Green, and he really wasn't himself. He's just now kind of getting back to, you know, maybe the Draymond we've grown accustomed to seeing. So it was a work in progress for Steph, but physically he looks terrific. He's locked in, and I think you can tell that he's feeling good, JD, because he's so aggressive, right? He's not just living out on the perimeter, chucking up threes. Like, we saw it tonight, and, you know, that and one where he's twisting and turning at the bucket. Then the next time down, he's got a nice smooth layup with a nice finish off the glass. Like, when Steph's in aggressive mode like that, you know he's feeling spry, he's feeling hungry. That's all signs indicate Steph Curry's feeling like $1 million.
Another key topic, and one that we really haven't touched on to this point, a little bit after the road trip opening victory in Dallas, you know, how do the Warriors take what's worked for them over this stretch where they haven't had centers and apply some of it to when they are closer to full strength or when they do have a couple of their bigs back in the mix? And Steve Kerr was asked about just that in the post-game Zoom room. Are there things they'll use from this stretch?
You know, I think every game is different, and we definitely need to find pockets during the game to play Draymond at the five. He's now in a really good groove. His conditioning is where he needs it to be, and he had an amazing road trip, just handling the ball and directing our offense, directing our defense. So we've got to find some pockets where we do go small, and we'll just have to figure that out.
What do you think is the right opportunities? Like, who, you know, I maintain it should be almost matchup based. Like, you map it out and you look at a team like the Dallas Mavericks, who you had a ton of success against playing small basically for the entire 48 minutes by necessity. To me, you find some teams where the scouting report says, hey, we have an advantage if we play small more regularly, and those are the games where you just break it out and you get after it. I think that's probably the easiest way to do it. But as we know from the, you know, discussion in the last 24 hours, Steve Kerr does like to be a little bit more regimented with everybody's going to get their time, everybody's going to get their opportunities. So it's going to be interesting to see how he organizes when to maybe flip that switch and try to ignite his club by playing smaller.
Yeah, it's almost like, and you tell me, JD, this kind of just occurred to me. The way that he handles his rotation is more conducive to the personnel that he had when they went to five straight finals. A veteran Leighton group who's all, you know, earned their NBA stripes, and you know what you're going to expect. And as seasoned professionals, and not just veterans, but high quality veterans, they kind of deserve to know what to expect. They've kind of earned that, you know, game in and game out from their coach and from their organization. I still feel like he's kind of coaching that way. And look, that's his ideology as a basketball coach. So you don't want to deter from it too much. But when you, it's a whole different, like, cast of characters, right? And I know Kerr loves the continuity factor, and so guys can get comfortable in those roles. I totally subscribe to that, but it's different now, right? It's a younger group. It's a less experienced group as far as just games played and experiences, Warriors and tenure with the club. Like, I feel like the situation from the personnel has changed, so I kind of feel like the way that you would handle the personnel should change along with it. Like, you, the same way you would coach a veteran team, the way you treat guys is different than the way that you treat guys that are younger or maybe don't have the NBA stripes that some of these guys do. So do you feel like maybe he's still kind of coaching this team, you know, from the minutes, like he has a bunch of dudes like Durant and Klay, and the reality is he doesn't?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think he believes that, you know, philosophically, the best way to go about coaching this team is to keep everybody involved. And the best way for this team in particular, I do think it can be contingent on your best chance to win. Like, look, your best chance to win if you're Steve Kerr with this particular team, just as a baseline for everything else you do, is – you want Steph Curry and Draymond Green to be maximized together. So, and if Steph Curry wants to play the first and third quarters, you're doing that. So I actually have no problem with, all right, Steph first and third, Draymond, you want to mirror the minutes, so you roll that out, and then everything else is, you know, you're trying to figure out when you're going to sub Wiggins and when you're going to sub Oubre and how you're going to get Bazemore in and Damian Lee. Like, I actually don't have a problem, believe it or not, with the rotation as a whole. I might shorten it by one man on a night in, night out basis. I might play one fewer big on some nights, or play small more regularly. I actually don't have a problem with how he processes or organizes it. I just think on different nights you have to be able to adjust. Hey, maybe this guy's not going to play tonight, even though typically he would be playing every other night.
Sure.
Or when it comes to Steph in particular, hey, I'm going to give Steph an extra 2 minutes tonight that maybe I wouldn't on a normal night.
Yeah, I think as far as it applies, I think that's two separate conversations, and I agree with you in principle. I think as it applies to who they're playing, I totally agree. I mean, we've seen, you know, it's kind of positionless basketball in the NBA anyway these days, right? And the Warriors in particular, they have a bunch of guys that can switch out and defend a lot of different positions. I mean, look, I know Dallas and even San Antonio, but particularly Dallas, was really conducive to playing a small ball lineup. You could actually get the edge, but you can learn from things. You can adapt on the fly. So I think 100%, you look at it going in and how do we match up with this team, and maybe if, you know, you can go small, you know, have it in your game plan to go small early, and okay, if you're getting smoked on the glass and it's not working out, then you can adjust when you actually have big men at your disposal. So I think there should probably be a bit more of a willingness to do that and just say, hey, you know, Kevon Looney's, you know, probably not playing tonight if we don't need him, or whatever that looks like, or, you know, maybe on a given night, hey, you know what, probably aren't going to roll with Bazemore tonight, or whatever it's going to be. But I think the other conversation is, as it applies to Steph Curry and playing him some more minutes, I think that needs to be, you know, going in like a game like last night, San Antonio, all the reasons that we laid out why it might need to happen like that. And then, oh yeah, the game script dictates like, hey, we're not scoring. It's a close game. Steph's on fire. We might need to play Steph a few more minutes tonight because that's going to be the difference between winning and losing. If you feel like it could be absolutely the difference between winning and losing if you play Steph a couple more minutes, I think you have to be willing to do it. But you only know that once you get into the flow of the game.
888-957-9570. He's Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. It's Warriors wrap-up here. We'll extend the coverage again all the way until 10 o'clock, as we like to do here on 95.7 The Game. More from Steve Kerr, more from Steph Curry, and more from Draymond Green, all straight ahead as the Warriors get the win tonight over the Spurs, 114-91, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Couldn't handle a pass. Wiggins gets it to Draymond, front court, trailing Curry. Steps out to the left for a three, and it's a swish.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Final segment here. Warriors win it in San Antonio, 114-91. So Golden State now 13-12. They will jump up in the standings tonight all the way into the eighth spot at the close of business tonight. That, Covey, because the Sixers won in Sacramento tonight, 119-111. Back and forth contest, a lot of scoring, really good ball game tonight in Sacramento. And the Kings have been red hot, winners of four in a row and also seven of the last eight. But Philly goes in there already leading the East and gets an impressive win to improve to 18-7. So Sacramento back all the way to 12-12 now. So they fall into ninth. The Pelicans are up to 10th at 11-12. Warriors now 13-12. Basically in a virtual tie with Denver, who's played two fewer games at 12-11. Portland, with their win that you mentioned in at home against Orlando, they move up to the fifth spot now and drop San Antonio down to the sixth spot. But the bottom line is I can run all this stuff down and it's all going to change like five, six, seven different positions by the time we hit the airwaves tomorrow on the final word at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, we do the NBA standing shuffle every night. And look, you know, it's important to keep an eye on it. And I know Hoop fans care because, well, it's the NBA and it's awesome. But it's a logjam in the West. We know basically who the top three seeds are going to be. It's the Jazz, then the two LA teams. You figure at some point Denver will get it going, but maybe not. I mean, maybe they're just going to be a bit of an inconsistent outfit this year. The Suns obviously have been playing some great basketball of late. We saw that when the Warriors went down there and got touched up a little bit a couple weeks back. So it's going to be a logjam. And if you're the Golden State Warriors, I think we can all sense it, JD. I think, like, if you had to ask, and I want to get your take on this, if I had to choose right now, do I think the Warriors are more likely to go on a streak and put some separation on the right side of 500 at any point or the wrong side? I would probably be inclined to say I believe they're going to go on the right side of 500. Now, keeping Steph and Draymond and Wiggins healthy, like, that's paramount. I get that 100%. But I kind of feel like this team has a good run in them. And if they do that, let's say they go 7-3 over a 10-game span coming up here. Like, they could put some real, you know, a little bit of breathing room between themselves and that, you know, that group kind of hanging around fighting for the play-in tournament. So they still have everything to play for. They were never going to be a top three seed this year. But the other stuff is all still in reach for this basketball team. And what do you think, JD? If I put the toes to the fire, if I put John Dickinson's little piggies to the fire and I said, JD, this team more likely to have a stretch of 10 games where they go 7-3 or 3-7? Which way are you leaning?
I would say 7-3 as long as Curry and Draymond and Wiggins are playing. Now, if you lose Curry for 2 weeks, we're having a completely different conversation immediately.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen a dude that's averaging 38 points a game over the last five. If he has to miss any time, then it's trouble. But with the premise being they continue to play as they have, with Draymond only missing the first road trip of the season, and Wiggins has been durable as he has been throughout the course of his career, and Curry to this point has been able to be out there every single night. With the way they're playing, I feel like they're more apt to get on a positive run than a negative one, and that's not something, you know, 3 weeks ago, as this team kind of lingered around 500, I might have given you the opposite answer, but I feel like they are showing some signs of maybe coming around a little bit. And you know who else had a similar comment tonight? Was the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, actually. So let's go ahead and rack that one up here from the post-game Zoom room. This was with the context of not having the bigs and how the team played over this last four-game stretch.
I think they handled it really well. Juan gave us great minutes. It's good to get Eric back the last couple of games and have him help us be such a strong, powerful player that he really helps when we are, you know, shorthanded on the front line. But everybody, I thought, you know, really competed like crazy on this road trip. And you know, it's good to be able to go home 2-2, 2-2. We could have been better, but I think anytime you go out on the road, especially, you know, where we are right now in our development as a team, 2-2 is good. And I'm still believing that we are close to sort of tipping the scales and finding a little momentum. I really believe that, but we have to prove that.
And I think the last couple of games, you know, they show that. I mean, the two blowout wins in the two games that they won, they slip up in a couple of close games. They were right there against a good Boston team that has some quality wins themselves on their current West Coast swing, which is ending in Salt Lake City tonight. So I think this team has shown, you know, they've competed with the Clippers and the Lakers. They've had some duds in Utah and in Denver and Phoenix. But I think there is some reason for optimism. Again, as long as they can stay healthy, that they can maybe put it together.
Yeah, no question. And look, I think Steve Kerr, he's not just trying to inspire the troops or you know, put a narrative out there. Like, that's how he feels, because basically that's where they're at. And when you win games via blowout, I mean, they beat the Mavs 147-116 in a game that the Mavericks really wanted to have. San Antonio tonight, after a really crushing loss last night on a back-to-back, the Warriors went out there and handled business after kind of a ho-hum first half. They put it on them in the second half. So when you're winning via the blowout and you're losing close games, I mean, that's what they've been for, what, the last six games, JD? I mean, after, you know, you had the couple of wins against Minnesota, price of admissions wins. You lose to the Suns, you know, on the back-to-back, traveling after the Minnesota games. Since then, you've blown out three teams, and you've lost three really close basketball games. So, yeah, I think he's onto it. That's real talk, man. This team is close to turning the corner, but the last thing he said there is probably the most relevant. Now you got to go out there and do it.
Yeah, now you got to go out there and do it, and I think, you know, it starts with Thursday. I mean, the Orlando game, that's the perfect opportunity to get out there, get yourself right back to two games over 500, take your chances with that Brooklyn game. Brooklyn's been weird this year, as we were talking about, and then Cleveland, to me, is one that you got to get, and then we'll see with Miami, and then there's going to be some winnable games on the road, too, when the Warriors hit that next road trip. But, yeah, I feel like the Warriors are getting closer to maybe being able to go. Not a major run, but I feel like they're more apt to win three in a row at this point, now that they were able to get tonight, than lose three in a row. By the way, the Warriors also improved to 11-1 this year when scoring 110 points. That continues to be the magic number, and we talked a lot about the defense in the first segment of the show. The Warriors held the Spurs to 37.2% from the field. The Warriors now 5-0 when holding opponents under 40% from the field. The Warriors are also 4-0 when recording 50 or more rebounds, and 8-1. Who says rebounds don't matter? The Warriors are 8-1 when out-rebounding their opponent. A lot of the time, though, when you're out-rebounding your opponent, that's indicative of the fact that they're missing a lot of shots and you're going up and getting them. So that's sure. Usually a good sign you're playing good defense. It's just a matter of, can you get the rebounds? And that, at times, maybe you don't take for granted with this Warriors team, because they haven't been able to always grab the rebound to finish off the possession.
Yeah, no doubt it's been a problem, and you would expect that it would only get magnified when you didn't have any bigs. But shout out to Juan Toscano-Anderson. He's getting a lot of love on the text line tonight, and rightfully so. He stepped in, had a couple of double-digit rebound games in there. Steve Kerr is always going to harp on the fact that it's got to be by committee, because there's nothing more deflating than, you know, having a really nice defensive possession, forcing a miss, but then the opposition gets the rebound and even, you know, gets an opportunity and gets a second chance bucket. It always seems to kind of work out that way. When you give up that second chance opportunity, teams usually will make you pay for it. And look, I think we saw it again tonight. This was a terrific defensive effort by these guys tonight, by one and all. I mean, it was across the board, particularly in the second half when they kind of smelled blood in the water. It was a complete team buy-in. And we've seen them too, JD, steadily climbing the ranks. What are they, number three in opponent's field goal percentage against? That's an important stat. And look, San Antonio messed around and shot 37% tonight. That means they're contesting shots. They're doubling. They're switching. They're doing all the little things. They're hustling. They're getting hands up. They have active hands. Like, there's a lot of things happening on the defensive end. And it's not just, you know, like, I don't know. I know the first time they played San Antonio at the Chase Center, Spurs missed a bunch of threes. There were a lot of wide open looks. That'll happen. But I think, by and large, when you watch the games, you see the activity and the contesting of shots. And you know, there's going to be times where you don't have it, and, you know, teams will score a lot on you. But for the most part, this team's found a defensive identity. And I've talked about that in the preseason, how important it's going to be for this team if they want to make it back to the playoffs. It has to start on the defensive end. They don't have the personnel to go up and down the floor and you know, get in shootout games like they did against the Mavericks on Saturday night. It's got to be a defensive effort first, and we saw that tonight, and we've seen them heading in that direction for a while. So I think that's a major positive for this team.
Let's go ahead and hear a little bit from Steph Curry before we call it a night. It's Warriors wrap-up with JD and Covey. Warriors win in San Antonio 114-91. Steve Kerr mentioned, you know, Steph and just how strong he's looked physically. And Steph addressed that as well, and also brought up the work that he's done in the offseason.
I mean, I'm blessed to be healthy after last year, and obviously, you know, the way the season started, all the kind of commentary chatter and all that. I worked my butt off over the all season and the rehab, like you said, and just happy to be playing night after night, and hopefully that continues. And definitely said it before. before I feel strong, I feel in rhythm, I feel ultimate control of my game, my shots are falling, and it all comes with not only my own confidence, but the growing confidence of our team in terms of how we're trying to play. We'll win or lose, that familiarity and that comfort's coming, you know, game after game. So that's important. But I definitely feel the strongest I've ever been, got a lot of energy, feeding off my guys and just trying to make plays. It's a good vibe right now.
You got to take a negative and try to make it work for you. And I think, you know, Stephen Curry has done that. I mean, whether it was the limited action he saw last year, the extended offseason due to the pandemic, you got to take a negative and try and turn it into a positive. And look, there was going to be, you know, before Klay Thompson got hurt, the conversation was going to be, hey, can this Warriors team run it back and be at a championship caliber level? So that was, you know, that was the target basically for Steph for 8+ months until the news came down that Klay was, you know, going to have to miss, unfortunately, a second consecutive season. So I think he had a fourth Larry O'Brien trophy on his mind going into this thing. But it set himself up, the work ethic and the way he's taking care of himself and trying to use a negative situation as a positive one. It set him up very well to have an unbelievable season under some very different circumstances in terms of the talent surrounding him than he's had in his career.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's an adjustment period. And look, right at the top of that clip, Steph referenced the chatter, right? I mean, we all know what he's talking about. The Warriors are finished. Steph Curry can't be the lead dog. You know, the glory days are behind him. Oh, now you've lost Klay Thompson on top of it. Like, this team, they're finished. Like, all of that. And Steph's like, yo, have you guys watched my career? I mean, look, I know there was still better personnel here, but Steph Curry, you know, won an NBA title, was a unanimous MVP, and this team won 140 regular season games and 31 playoff games and a Larry O'Brien trophy before Kevin Durant ever set foot in the building. So it's, you know, obviously KD made them better, and obviously having that depth and the strength in numbers, that was a huge part of it. But it started with Steph, JD, and I think he took it personal that everybody was just shoveling dirt on this team and they're finished and all of that. And you can tell, like, don't take my word for it. Just watch Steph play. And I think it's been good for the rest of the NBA world, in particular the Steph naysayers, although I can't believe that segment actually exists, but I think we all know it's true, for all of those folks to stand up and take notice. Like, nope, he's back. And if he's back, the Warriors, by default, are a playoff team and they're on the hunt. Because I know that was something you talked about, right, JD? You know, even like you look at James Harden's tenure with the Rockets, there were years where they were thin as a group, but because you had Harden, you're going to get over the hump. You're going to be in the playoffs. Steph has to be able to do that. Well, so far this year, he has been able to do that, quite literally willing this team to victory. So him referencing the chatter there, no question that kind of thing is what motivates him every single night. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it really is. Let's hear some Draymond and, you know, how he's doing physically is always going to be a topic of conversation, especially having to play these last four games as the starting center. And look, he had said that he feels like he's a couple of weeks away. We're about a week into that couple of weeks at this point. Here's what Draymond had to say as far as how he's feeling after the last four games and playing the five.
Considering retiring, that was fine. I mean, I've done it before. I mean, I don't think I've started at center four games in a row before, but I've played quite a bit of center. You know, I think, you know, it's great that Shaq ain't in the league no more. You know, those guys now, you know, we do got some, you know, Joel and Jokic and all those guys, but we haven't faced none of them. So if any time, you know, that we have to be small, it's been a pretty favorable schedule for us so far.
And a real good point and something that we hit on going into this thing, you know, San Antonio, Jakob Poeltl he was killing the Warriors again until that third quarter. The Warriors just obliterated him. He was a plus 25 in two games against the Warriors in six quarters until the third quarter tonight. And the Warriors, I think, ran him completely off the floor to where he didn't even play again and wound up being, I'm looking at the box score right now for Poeltl wound up being a minus 13. He was a plus 10 at halftime. So he was a minus 23 basically in the third quarter of the ball game tonight in the time that he was out there. The Warriors ran him right out after he had been a pest for six quarters.
Yeah, and look, you would expect a team that doesn't have any bigs at their disposal to struggle against other talented bigs. Now, the way you counteract that is get them, on their defensive end, right? I mean, use your size and your speed to your advantage. Pull them out into the deep water, out beyond the three-point line. That opens up passing lanes behind, and you can really start to get that ball movement rolling. So it cuts both ways in that respect. Now, long-term, is it sustainable? Look, in stretches, certainly. You certainly want to have some big men at your disposal at some point. I think we all know that. There's nobody sitting around going, boy, they're better without Wiseman and Looney and centers. No, of course. Like, the rebounding's been an issue for this team all year, but it certainly didn't hurt them tonight, and you can get it done in spurts. And, I mean, you look at the game last night, JD, they had a slight advantage in points in the paint, but I think we could all see that San Antonio had really tipped the scales and implemented their will defensively. So they swung that as a big net positive for them that the Warriors didn't have any bigs. Tonight, Warriors, they get the advantage in the rebounding. They get the advantage on the offensive glass. They outscored the Spurs points in the paint wise 46-32. Now, I know a lot of that was just finishing at the cup, Steph driving, Oubre dunking, things like that. But still, like, when you can have that pronounced advantage, when you can outscore the opposition by 14 points in the paint, that's a good place to start to win some basketball games when you don't have any big. So, yeah, Draymond's played plenty of five, and I got to give it up to Draymond. Draymond, last night, that was a really brutal way for the game to end. I didn't like the comments that he made, that, calling it the smartest dumb play in NBA history. That just did not sit well with me. But regardless, he's playing – his game has found another gear, and he was playing his ass off tonight. So Steph is leading the charge. Draymond is kind of like his first lieutenant, if you will, his consigliere. And Draymond certainly, set the tone on the defensive end. Everybody followed suit, getting behind him. So big props to Draymond Green. I thought he had a monster game tonight.
One more Draymond cut before we call it a night here on Warriors Wrap-Up. John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. I wanted to get this one in. He was asked about his offense and how he judges it. I have no idea what he said, but I am fascinated
I wanna
to hear
this.
What it is.
Yeah.
As long as I'm in a flow, I don't really judge it off numbers. I had, last game, 11 assists or something, 10 assists or something like that? I was horrible. I don't judge it off of how many assists I have or, how many points. It's a feel thing for me. If I can feel and tell, when I'm in the rhythm and when it's going well for me and when it's not. And quite frankly, it won't always show up in the stat sheet on, if I'm feeling good offensively or not. So, sometimes I'm getting great screens and I feel like I'm in the rhythm off my screens, So I don't judge it off numbers. It's kind of a feel thing for me.
So there you go. I was bleeping awful the other night, meaning last night.
Yeah. Well, and look, I think he's maybe being a little hard on himself. I'd like him to maybe split the difference, a little bit more humility last night, and then, hey, we got it back tonight. But that's Draymond, right? When he's just one of those kind of dudes that he's just not going to do what you expect him to do. When the world thinks he's going to zig, my man's going to zag. And God bless him for it. That's what makes him unique. It can be frustrating sometimes, because you don't think you're getting the straight business from him. But regardless, I do think there's something to the context angle there about not everything he does shows up in the stat sheet. We all know that. We've seen him throughout his career. But sometimes the stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheet shows up in the one loss column, like the way that he handled the last 4 minutes of the game last night.
Well, I was thinking the exact same thing you were, which was how much is the conversation different today going into the game and even last night as we're doing the post game if he comes on last night and just says, I was bleeping awful.
Right.
That was the dumbest play. Like, I blew it. I thought I was going to get fouled, and then I panicked and I threw the shot up and dude didn't foul me and I bleeping blew it.
Right.
Like, you say that last night, we're having a whole different energy today.
No doubt. But regardless, hard to argue with the fact that whatever path they chose to take last night, clearly they were able to use that as motivation tonight. Whether they compartmentalized it or straight up used it to fuel their fire tonight, I think they played for Coach Kerr tonight. I really do. And these guys went out there and played their tails off. Now, go out there and beat the Magic on Thursday night. Like, this is, don't take another step back. I do feel like they're primed to take a couple of steps forward, but it's only going to show up in the results. So go out and handle some business.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Great stuff, my man. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Final word here on 95.7 The Game. Good to have a final word. Feels like we haven't had one in a while.
Can't wait, baby. We can even talk a little football. Who knows what we'll get into, JD, but plenty of dubs, best believe.
All right, so 7 o'clock tomorrow for Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. Thanks to Sterling. Thanks to Bobby. Thanks to Mauser. We're back tomorrow, 7 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game with the final word, and then we're back on Thursday as well, 5:30 for Warriors Live as the Warriors take on the Magic inside Chase Center. That's going to do it. Warriors get the win, 114-91, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game. Good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.